morning, Cascadian. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, at 90.7 FM. Today is Wednesday, February 25th, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
The asbestos trial of the century begins today in Montana.
The mayors of Portland and Vancouver say that a new Interstate 5 bridge over the Columbia River should have 12 lanes.
And President Barack Obama has named former Washington Governor Gary Locke as his next Secretary of the Department of Commerce.
Portland area weather, showers, highs 45 to 50, light winds becoming stronger later, and then tonight, rain showers, snow level lowering to 500 feet, and temperatures in the 30s.
Before we go to regional news from around Cascadia this morning, we're going to be speaking with Ibrahim Hooper of the Council on American Islamic Relations, or CARE. As you heard just a moment ago, today at noon, KBOO is presenting an afternoon-long special on the Hebron Massacre. So just to bring listeners up to speed on that, we have Ibrahim joining us to talk about what happened. Basically, in a nutshell, a settler, Baruch Goldstein, an American-born Israeli, who perpetrated the February 25th, 1994, Cave of the Patriarchs massacre in the city of Hebron, killing 29 Muslims at prayer in the Ibrahimi Mosque. He wounded another 150 in the shooting attack. Ibrahim Hooper, with CARE, joins us today because it is important, not just for Palestinians and Israelis, but for everyone to remember that date. Good morning, Ibrahim, and thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So, to talk a little bit about American Muslims' feelings about Palestine and the way the Palestinian people have been treated, how engaged exactly are they?
The American people?
American Muslims.
Oh, American Muslims. I mean, obviously, whenever we do surveys, the issue of Palestine is one of the top issues that's mentioned by American Muslims, and particularly so since we saw the recent just brutal attacks on the civilian population of Gaza, and that really it had reverberations not only in the Muslim community in this country but worldwide, as we saw. Unfortunately, the kind of information that American Muslims have and that is seen on a daily basis in the Muslim world is somehow not getting through to Americans of other faith, and that's always been the challenge. When there are scenes of devastation and bloodshed and dead children being broadcast throughout the world, and particularly in the Muslim world, yet we're not seeing any of that, or we're seeing a sanitized version of it on American media, there's a disconnect there. So somehow we need to connect the American population with the rest of the world on this issue.
And that, in fact, is why KBOO is doing the special today, to remind people that Gaza is not an isolated incident, but in fact part of a greater story of bloodshed that has been more or less continuous for a great many decades now. Ibrahim, anything else that you would just like to say in closing on this anniversary of the Hebron Massacre?
I think Americans of all faiths need to educate themselves about the Middle East conflict and really look at it. Look at films like Occupation 101 that lays it out in detail, the core issues of the conflict, which is the occupation and the injustice suffered by the Palestinian people. And once they educate themselves, I think they'll know what the importance of this issue and what they should do.
Thank you so much for being with us this morning. My guest has been Ibrahim Hooper with the Council on American Islamic Relations, or CARE. Thank you so much, Ibrahim.
President Obama has named former Washington Governor Gary Locke as his next Commerce Secretary. Locke says he'll use the Commerce Department to implement Obama's strategy to turn around the economy.
And it seems America just can't do anything right. After the good news about former Governor Gary Locke, the United States today scolded China for a litany of human rights abuses last year, even though Secretary of State Hillary Clinton suggested during her recent Beijing visit that the issue would take a backseat to broader concerns like the global financial crisis, which will be overseen, of course, by the Department of Commerce and Gary Locke.
Washington Governor Chris Gregoire's proposal to regulate the emission of greenhouse gases linked to global warming faces serious challenges in the legislature. Yesterday, the Senate's Committee on Environment, Water, and Energy passed a version that gutted the heart of the plan. It would make participation voluntary. The plan would create a regional market to let polluters buy and trade pollution credits.
And, of course, there's nothing like an economic crisis to forward the interests of union busting. Governor Ted Kulongoski has asked unionized state workers to agree to 26 unpaid furlough days, up from an earlier request of 8 days. The proposal would amount to a 5% pay cut. The union leaders said that they were dismayed. Kulongoski spokesman Rem Niven said that if all state workers, union and non-union, agree, the savings would be $105 million.
The asbestos trial of the century began this week in Montana. A federal prosecutor told jurors that W.R. Grace & Company knew for years that its products posed serious health hazards to residents of Libby, Montana, but the company hid the risks from workers and government regulators. Assistant U.S. Attorney Chris McLean said the company and its executives conspired to keep those hazards a secret. The defense said, well, everybody knows asbestos is deadly.
Right. So what more do you need to know, people? The mayors of Portland and Vancouver say that a new Interstate 5 bridge over the Columbia River should have, count them, 12 lanes. They also propose a bi-state commission to manage the new bridge. The proposals combine planning and environmental goals favored on the Oregon side of the river and, of course, the high-capacity bridge favored on the Washington side. After all, it's far from the people in Seattle. They won't have to put up with the sprawl and the growth that it will engender.
A day after being told the business and occupations tax bill was dead, Tri-City leaders continued efforts to get a lower tax rate applied to businesses supporting cleanup of Hanford. Tri-City leaders argued that charging support businesses the higher B&O rate takes money away from cleanup because it all comes from the cleanup budget.
The Obama administration is heading for a court showdown this week over warrantless wiretapping by repeating many of the same arguments that the Bush administration made to justify it. A ruling by a federal appeals court could come as early as Friday in the latest chapter of the long legal battle over the Al-Haramain Islamic Foundation chapter in Oregon. It's the latest major case withstanding, it's the last major case withstanding to challenge the Bush-era surveillance program. The government argued that the documents fell under the state secrets privilege that protects information considered vital to national security. And we'll be having David Pedanke of the Oregon ACLU on tomorrow to talk about this.
Two Medford men have pleaded guilty to burning the shape of a cross and the letters KKK into the lawn of a mixed-race couple's home. Gary Moss and Devin Klausegger face a maximum punishment of 10 years in prison and fines up to $250,000. Sentencing is May 5th, which makes May 5th the day Oregon's commitment to civil rights and social justice is tested.
A University of Washington report finds disparities in how much the state's convicted felons are required to pay in fines and fees, and questions whether those penalties make for good public policy. Among the findings, Hispanics were given higher fines than non-Hispanic whites for similar offenses. Men were fined more than women, and drug cases resulted in fines and fees higher than violent crimes. Everybody get that? The drug cases resulted in fines and fees higher than violent crime, although, of course, violent crime carried longer prison terms.
U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials say they've arrested 28 undocumented immigrants working at a Bellingham engine manufacturing plant. Most of the people arrested are in custody at the Northwest Detention Center in Tacoma, where they'll await deportation proceedings. Shirin Danani McCullough, whose family owns the business, says the raid came after months of cooperating with ICE on an audit, which included providing employee rosters to federal authorities.
And now we go to KBOO Spencer Raymond with DC Dirt to try to figure out what's up with the Republicans. They say good morning, Spencer. They say that a wounded animal is a deadly animal. And if one wants to know just how badly the animal is wounded, you take a look at mass media. What mass media has been doing to Barack Obama is they're excoriating the new president with no basis whatsoever in reality. What's going on, Spencer?
Well, we've mentioned this briefly in the past. It's this combination of, you know, one side of the GOP who is totally against the stimulus package. I mean, there were only three Senate Republicans who passed the bill to begin with, and they are all against the other side of the Republicans, mostly governors who are saying, yes, we do need the money. We need the stimulus because our state's economies are really hurting and we could use the help. There's also governors like Bobby Jindal of Louisiana who don't want the money. They blatantly said, we won't take it. But then Schwarzenegger, also a GOP governor, said, okay, then we'll take your money if you don't want it. But what it is, Chris, is this fundamental battle inside the GOP that they don't know what they want, and they're not a cohesive unit right now in terms of what their stance, what their policy should be.
Well, are they bad or are they just stupid? Because it seems as though by refusing to support Obama's stimulus package, they are doing some harm to the country, perhaps to themselves, but of course it really gets their base stirred up and, you know, rah, rah, let's drown the government in a bathtub and let's, you know.
Chris, you mentioned the base, and it's the fundamental conservative ideology versus what do we need present day today to keep America on its feet. I mean, liberal or conservative kind of policy aside, there are certain things that, you know, are proven to, you know, help create jobs, to get the economy back on track, to loosen up credit, as Obama did mention in a speech like that. And what the Republicans are struggling with is keeping to their conservative roots or stepping aside from that slightly in order to just basically get things that they need currently.
Or perhaps they're just campaigning for the next.
That's right. And a lot of people said Bobby Jindal's Republican response to Obama's address to Congress last night. Remember, Bobby Jindal is the governor of Louisiana, and he is basically what the GOP would like to see as their version of Obama. He's a minority. He is a former Muslim converted to a Roman Catholic. He is a staunch conservative, and he's a southern state governor who is nice-looking and has excellent charismatic speaking skills. He's Obama in a conservative skin, and he will be running for president in 2012.
He's running right now.
Yeah, and that was his first chance to address the nation last night.
And I think we'll be hearing a lot more from Governor Bobby Jindal. Yeah, so we'll be talking more about this later. Thank you so much. That, of course, is KBOO's Spencer Raymond with DC Dirt. Thanks so much, Spencer.
Executives of the biggest oil companies tried to convince lawmakers that expanded offshore drilling will produce jobs and help the nation's economy, but new leases in areas that have been off limits wouldn't be issued for years.
And now we go to the vault of the Pentagon. The Pentagon says top military officers and civilians had to sign a letter promising to keep budget details secret if they wanted to work on the military's fiscal plan. Defense Secretary Robert Gates set the rule. And this year is the first time that it actually required the non-disclosure statements.
This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Wednesday, February 25, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Paula Chernoff. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM. Your support, and your support only, keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, Flashpoints, examination of U.S. hegemony and celebrities in Congo, and also the government's response to the global economic crisis. And then at noon, a special afternoon coverage of the anniversary of the Hebron massacre. And don't forget that beginning next Monday, Air Cascadia moves to 10 a.m. Catch us an hour earlier every weekday starting March 2nd.
Thanks for listening and have a good day.